Anyway, I want to talk today. It's from a message that I listened to a while back from Gary Petty. So I want to give him credit for that part. And if he's listening, I'm sorry, because I may butcher it a little bit. But anyway, I want to hopefully today, on this first day of Lent bread, I want to convey to you the lesson that I learned from that message. So let's just go. You know, in the Old Covenant, there was a physical sign, an outward sign of the covenant with God. And it was a physical act of circumcision. It was an outward sign, and it was a very important sign. If you want to turn with me to Genesis 17, we will read that. Genesis 17, verse 9. Genesis 17, verse 9. Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you." And we know at the time that anytime a man was circumcised, his whole family was a participant in that covenant. This was a very important part of the old covenant, an outward sign of that covenant. Now we know that Jesus came along with a new covenant. He instituted this at Passover, which we read on Tuesday evening. If you can turn with me to Luke 22, we'll read that again. Luke 22, verse 17. Luke 22, verse 17. Then he, Jesus, took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." So he does this, and he institutes a new covenant. So what is the sign that we are participating in the new covenant? If you would, turn with me to Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9. "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Again, there's the outward sign of the old covenant. We know now that through Christ we are not circumcised in the flesh, but in the heart. Paul mentions that here. But there's also a physical outward sign that we do that shows that we are committed to that new covenant. Let's continue in verse 11 and verse 12. Let's continue in verse 11 because it is one sentence. "By putting off the body of the flesh by circumcision," verse 12, "buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." So the outward sign is that we're buried with Christ through baptism. We're buried at baptism. Baptism symbolizes a burial of you, a burial of who you are or were. As we read in verse 12, we were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him. We were raised with him. Jesus Christ was literally buried and was raised from the dead. He was resurrected. This is the theme of all the four Gospels. This is what we hang our hats on, that Jesus Christ was buried and resurrected. In his death and resurrection, we participate in this because we're buried with him. And then God works with us. This is why the Passover is so important. And the Passover service that we did on Tuesday night is only for those who have been baptized and made this covenant with God. Because you've been buried. You were buried, you died, and were buried, and something happened to you. You know, we just, as Dr. Ross mentioned, we baptized Brooklyn on Sunday night. When she went under the water, she was buried. She was buried in that water. Her old self died. The Brooklyn that we knew last week, most of it is gone. She's a new person. When Brooklyn went in that water, when you and I went in that water, something is happening that is much greater than what happened with ancient Israel and the physical circumcision that marked them as people of God. There's something happening between us and God. And the symbolism we're going through that is very real. And Paul understood this, and we need to as well. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 1. I think I mentioned everyone in my family that before the Passover, we should read Romans 6 through 9 or Romans 6 through 10. It's a good read before the Passover. It's a good read during the days of unleavened bread as well. Romans 6, verse 1. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" We died to sin at baptism. We just read that. Verse 3. "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death?" It says we died. We died with him. You died. I died at baptism. We died with Jesus Christ. At Passover, we look at our sins. We look at our past. We examine ourselves, which we should do. We have to understand, though, that our sins are buried at baptism. Our past was buried at baptism. Our past had to die. Our old self had to die at baptism. We were buried with Jesus Christ. When we went under the water, again, I'll pick on Brooklyn. When Brooklyn went under that water, God said, "Good. My son, my daughter in this case, the death of my son and his burial, you are participating in that." We're participating in the death and burial of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we go to Passover, like we did on Tuesday evening, and we go in feeling bad, bad about our past, bad about our sins. And we are to do a self-reflection. And of course, we don't measure up. But we should be understanding as we go in that I died. We died. I was buried with Christ. I entered into this covenant. Therefore, it is the power of God that I must submit to. Because it is the power of God that saves me. We must submit to God because it is the power of God that saves us. And we cannot do it on our own. When we are buried at baptism, the old man or the old woman dies. My old man dies and is buried. But sometimes we know, and if anybody knows me, you can ask my wife especially, sometimes that old man comes back. He rears his ugly head like a zombie. He is trying to live again. Our old man tries to live again. Let's go back again and read verse 3. Verse 3, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death?" So we are participating in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We participate in his death, symbolically dying, and our sins are gone. God forgives us, and they're washed away. And as we come up, it is like Jesus Christ being resurrected. So in his resurrection, when we come out of there and the old man has died, we begin the process. We begin the process of becoming a new life. You know, again, with Brooklyn, when she came out of that water, she began the process on Sunday night of becoming a new person, just like we all do at baptism. And this person, this new person, is a lot more than just keeping the Ten Commandments, just keeping the Sabbath, just coming to the holy days. These are important. These are very important. But this has to do with, I have to die to become somebody new. And according to what we are reading, when we come out of that water, it's just like Jesus Christ being resurrected. We come out of that water and we are to be new people. This is a question we should ask ourselves during this time of year. Have I really died with Jesus Christ? Am I really becoming a new person? Or am I just that same old person I used to be? The same angry, impatient, bitter, judgmental person that has never truly humbled himself before God and changed? You know, I've talked to a lot of people. You go to the feast, you go to the winter weekend, you see people you haven't seen in a while. They go, man, Jerry, you haven't changed one bit. And I used to say, oh, that's great, that's cool. But now it's like, I do my Greta Thunberg, how dare you? We should be changing. We should be changing every year. We should be different. I should not be the same person that I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago. None of us should be that same person. We need to be changing and growing. Every year we should be shedding the old person and bringing in, becoming the new person. Let's go back again, verse 4 again. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together, for we have been united together in the likeness of his death. We were united with Jesus Christ when we go into the water. We're symbolizing that I am dying here because you died so that I can come up out of this water and receive God's Spirit and be a brand new person. A brand new person. Because that's what we experience, a likeness, a symbol of his death. Continuing. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. When we read that, think, what did Paul just say? We were crucified. Crucified and buried with Christ. He was crucified for us. We were crucified too. We participate in every Passover, and we see him as that lamb that was crucified. We realize that we cannot get out of this. I cannot save myself. He was crucified, and I am united with him. Again, I died. I was buried. I came up. I'm a new person. And the only reason we are a new person is because God did something. God did something, not us. You know, during this week, instead of focusing on past sins, we should just spend time praying to God and studying the scriptures and asking God, help us to kill the old man, that old zombie. Help us to keep him buried, to keep him or her under the water, and to really be somebody new, to be that new person. Again, I've died, and I'm resurrected in a sense to be a new person. Not the resurrection of the dead, but you know what I mean. Symbolically, I came out of the grave. Symbolically, I died with Christ. And in reality, I'm a new person, a brand new person. The Holy Spirit came into us, and Christ is living his life in us. And now we're a new person because Christ is living with us, in us. Because of that, we slowly become freed from sin. It becomes less and less a part of who we are. Many of us lived before our lives before being called, and we lived lives of sin. But as we become baptized and cleansed, that life should be less and less of us. The sin should be less and less a part of our lives. We should be less concentrating on that sin and concentrating on who I am as a child of God. You know, before the Passover, we worry about being worthy to take the Passover. And of course, in reality, none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is a gift. and we never could be. He does something in us. He is in the process of making us worthy in this amazing work that God is doing through Jesus Christ. But you know, there is a problem. Because I know in my life, and I see it in other people's lives, we struggle with this, don't we? We were buried symbolically, dying with Christ, but we know we did not altogether die. That old man is still alive. That old man, that old life still continues to pop up. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. When you came up a new person, you still had elements of your own self. Our human nature was still there. The old person keeps trying to come up out of the grave. We all experience that. I experience that. Anybody who plays volleyball on Wednesday night experiences that sometimes. Sometimes there's a bunch of zombies out there. Our old life keeps trying to come back and take over. You know, we can look at our shortcomings because we're not looking at God. You know, when God gives us his Holy Spirit, when God puts a part of his nature in us, when he gives us his Holy Spirit, he gives us everything we need. Everything we need. And sometimes when that zombie comes up and comes out, our old self comes out, we're not looking to God like we should. And I'm talking about myself here. Our viewpoint has to be, I was buried with Christ. I came up, the zombie is still there, and God has given me everything I need, and everyone else, everything they need. We're all in this fight with this inner zombie. It's already dead, but it keeps trying to claw back to life. But God has given us everything we need through his Spirit. Continuing in verse 3. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Almighty God has given us promises, great and precious promises to me and to you. Continuing on, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When we receive God's Spirit, we have a little bit of the nature of God in us. This is why Christianity can be so hard sometimes, because we're constantly wrestling. We have the old, we have the new, and they're battling one another. And sometimes we don't listen to the part of our nature. We listen to the corrupted nature. We listen to the old person that is still trying to live in us. And it's a battle. And it can be a struggle. We have to remember that we were buried again. We were buried. That old person is dead. It keeps coming back, but they're dead and it was buried with us. We've got to keep it buried. And God is making us into something new, something better. We were buried and we were brought out of the water and God's Spirit is in us. This is what's get us through. This is what God is doing. Every Passover, we get an opportunity to start over. Passover is a new beginning. Just like spring, as you're walking around the neighborhood, you see the trees blossoming, you see the flowers, you see new life, a new beginning. You hear the birds, it's beautiful, it's warm. God is giving us a new life. We have a new beginning. And at Passover, we have that. We have a chance to start over, to reconnect to who we are. Ephesians 2, verse 1. I'll just read it real quick. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses. Now go ahead and turn there if you would, because I'm going to go through this more. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Paul said when we were dead, and then we died. Kind of weird if we're dead, and then we died. But before we walked with God, before we became a part of this way of life, we were dead. We were dead in our sins. because we had committed sins, and then we repent, we get baptized, and we die again. We go down and we're buried. So we were made alive. And how were we made alive? We were forgiven and we were buried with Christ because the old person is being crucified. And then when we come up and God's Spirit is in us, we are partakers of this new divine nature and we are a new person. We're a new person. All except for that old man or that zombie that wants to come back. But we continually grow as a new person. This is what happens when Christ comes back. We become totally new. Verse 2, Ephesians 2, verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. We were spiritually dead, and God has given us life. The Holy Spirit is a down payment on eternal life. God is giving us life. He's given us the down payment on eternal life. Continuing in verse 4, together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In the resurrection, we will have a direct face-to-face interaction relationship with God. A direct face-to-face. But now, we already have a relationship. We're in a relationship with God because we're already dead and have been made alive. The process was that we had to die with Christ and we had to be buried, a type of resurrection, picturing a future resurrection when we will be like him. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, just believing in Jesus Christ, like so many do, is not enough. If we're buried, we come up and we're to become a new person. We can struggle with these two natures. In verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and that we should walk in them. Before we received God's Spirit, he had a plan for what he wanted us to do. Of course, we all have free moral agency, so sometimes we took the plan on ourselves and we messed up that plan a little bit. But God had a plan for us, and he has a plan for us. What we are looking at us here is this, is the remarkable love of God. God had a remarkable love for us as sinners. And it's amazing. We think about that. God called us while we're in the world. We're sinners. And God had a plan for us to be a part of his way of life. We respond to that. We accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Then he says, I want you to go through a ceremony where you're basically, every year, go through a ceremony where you're basically crucified with him, buried with him, and come up a new person. And this is how we outwardly show this covenant. That every Passover, what we do, we take the symbols of his blood and his body because we are being renewed all the time. And this is a process of constant renewal as we struggle to have God develop in us the new nature. And this is why we do this. Passover cannot be just some ritual that we do. Passover is all about a renewal of a covenant in which we, by the power of God, become a new person. It's something every year that we do, and we focus on why we're there. We have the blood and the sacrifice, we understand that, but it's also a process of becoming a new person. And every year God gives us that. He gives us that reset button. that reboot. Say, let's start again. Let's get going. Let's do this again. And we do it, and we understand that we can only do it through Jesus Christ, the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, we already read in Peter, where Peter said, God has given us everything that we need. He gives us that Holy Spirit to guide us, to help us, to give us the help we need. If you turn with me to Philippians 1, 6. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Until the day he returns, until the spiritual resurrection, to the resurrection to eternal life. God has given us everything we need through his Holy Spirit, and he will never give up on us. You know, that's what baptism is, and I explained this to Brooklyn. When you're being baptized, when you're being called, you're being called into a relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Jesus Christ will never move from that relationship. Never. We may move. We may say we've had enough. We may move on. They don't move. They're solid. They're always there. And that's what Philippians 1 verse 6 says. They're going to be with us to the end, and we have to understand that, to the day they return. God has given us everything we need. If we are failing, if we're not growing, if that old man keeps coming up and overpowering us, we have to ask for help. We have to ask for help. If we keep falling down, God's going to finish the race. God's going to finish us and help us. We have to hang on, but we have to ask for help if we need help. Turn with me to Ephesians 3, verse 14. You know, if we're failing, we need to go get help. God is going to finish if we hang on. We submit, we learn, we fall down, and God gets us up again. And that's what Passover is supposed to remind us of that. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. The new man. Where does the new person get his strength? Again, we cannot do this on our own. It comes from the Spirit of God. We have to ask for it. Sometimes we have to get on our knees before God and say, you know what? I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. I need help. We have to get on our knees and say, God, I'm not able to do this. Because, you know, if we think we can do it on our own, we're in trouble. We need God's Spirit. Only God makes us worthy. Only God can help us. We have to understand and sometimes get on our knees and ask God, say, God, this inner zombie is coming back. I can't do this on my own. We have to understand Satan is more powerful than we are. We have to ask God to help hold him back. Continue in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When God's Holy Spirit comes into us, we want that new nature to be developed to the point where God says, I'm done. Well done. You have developed to what I want you to be. And we know that's going to be in the resurrection. And we will be actually at that time be united to God for eternity. We will be in the fullness of God. But right now, we need God's help. We cannot do this on our own. Our faith needs to be in God. God's the one that does it. The new man, the new person will be filled with the fullness of God. This does not happen immediately. This takes a lifetime. The inner person is being developed to be like God. We're literally becoming the children of God. And we know what the price was that paid for this to happen. We get to participate in it. At Passover, we commemorated the fact that Christ was crucified for me, for us. I vicariously lived that crucifixion through him. I vicariously was buried into him. I was vicariously resurrected to a new man so that I could look forward to a literal resurrection. This is what we read. This is what Paul was saying. And we all go through this together, this communion with God and Jesus Christ and each other. We're all going through the same process. Each of us is wrestling with our zombies, with our old man throughout the week. We're all going through the same thing. Now to verse 20. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We look, again, we can look at ourselves. We can think about our past. We can think about it and we say, I can't do this on my own. And God says, I know you can't. I understand you can. I want you to understand that you can't do it without my spirit. You cannot do it without Jesus Christ. We look to God. We know that God can do it. And God says, you know what? You don't even understand what I can do for you. It's beyond your comprehension about how much I can help you. And we have to have faith in that. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're struggling with, we have to understand that God can help us. And God will help us. And God wants to help us. We have to realize, and I think we humbly become before God, and we understand that we cannot do it on our own. In verse 21, he says, to him be glory in the church by Christ, Jesus to all generations, forever and forever. Amen. You know, Paul understood this. You know, we are to be looking at ourselves, examining ourselves. We need to go to God in prayer and ask him, to honor the covenant that he made with us, that he will complete his part of the covenant, and that he will make us that new person. Go to God. I'm having trouble with this. You promised, you know, as a parent with your children, you can say, hey, you know, I promised if we do this, we'll go and do this. And sometimes as a physical father, you can't always keep your promises. Something else comes up. But God, when God says, I make a promise to you, God will keep the promise. He doesn't say, you know what, there's a typhoon in India, I'm busy, I can't help you right now. He never does that. He says, I'm going to help you with that promise. And if we go back again to the Passover brings us back to the solution. When God called you into the new covenant, Christ took upon himself our death penalty. When we participated on our side of the covenant, which is baptism, again, of the old person, of the old sinful person. We were crucified with him. You were buried with him. You were brought up out of the water as a symbol of the resurrection to be a new person. We have to ask God to fulfill that promise in us. And what's the promise? That Jesus Christ will return. The old man will die. The new man will be developed beyond anything you can think. And at that time, we will be changed into his child forever. We have to ask God to help us change. Help us bury that old man. We can't do it on our own. And that brings us to where we are today. This is the first day of unleavened bread. We know that these days we are to continue to focus on keeping sin out of our lives. During these days, we are not only to eat leaven, but we're to eat unleavened bread every day. There are several scriptures in this. I'll just read Leviticus 23. 5 and 6. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days, you must eat unleavened bread. We're told to eat unleavened bread, which we should eat every day. And let's turn back to Deuteronomy 16. I'm not going to collect another offering, but Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. We eat the unleavened bread to remember coming out of Egypt, to remember coming out of sin, to remember moving on. We remind us to come out of the world. We're walking out of Egypt, but we're walking to something. They were walking to the promised land. It took them an extra 40 years, but they were walking to a new way of life, and we're walking to a new way of life as well as we walk out of Egypt. We're walking toward Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. You know, again, we cleaned up our lives by removing the leaven, the sin from our homes, from out of our lives. We took the Passover the other night. We recommitted our lives to the body of Jesus Christ. We recommitted to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by taking that wine that represented his shed blood for us. When we walked out of Passover, we recommitted. We re-signed up to this way of life. We told God, I know you're committed to me. I'm committed to you. I want to do it again. I want to walk with you. We go through the days of unleavened bread with this understanding, knowing that we have been forgiven, knowing again that we were called by God into this way of life. We repented of our sins. We accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Again, we were crucified with him. We died. We were buried with him. And we were resurrected again, not the ultimate resurrection. We were brought out of that watery grave to a new life. We're a new person. Each Passover, we remember this. We recommit to this. We remember being baptized as an outward sign of our commitment to the new covenant, to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Paul mentioned this again in Galatians 2. If you turn with me, Galatians 2, verse 20. This is a memory verse, Galatians 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Each day of this week, when we take that unleavened bread that we eat, we can pause and think about what that bread means. We're coming out of Egypt, coming out of this world. We're a new person. We are burying the past, burying that old person. That old zombie keeps trying to live. He keeps trying to come back. But we're trying to keep him out of our lives. We're living a new life with Jesus Christ living inside of us. We're living a new life of faith. Faith in the Son of God. Faith in Jesus Christ. As we understand, and we understand that we cannot do this on our own. We need Jesus Christ. We need God the Father to help us. We eat that bread that on Passover represents the body of Christ. And during these days of unleavened bread, that unleavened bread reminds us of coming out of the world, coming out of sin. And where do we go? We move closer to Jesus Christ. We come out of the world, we just can't come out of the world. We have to walk towards Christ. Walk towards a new way of life. He's living inside us. And we are in him. We're to come out of our old ways, our old habits, our old life. That life is buried. That life is dead. We are raised to a new life, a life walking with Jesus Christ, a life of walking in Jesus Christ, a life of Jesus Christ living in us. You know, we've been given an incredible blessing to be a part of what God is doing. If we just think about that, and I was walking around the neighborhood today, and there's people working, doing their lawns, doing whatever. I think we are so blessed, not just because we got to sleep late, that was a blessing, but we're so blessed to know what we know, to know these days, to understand this time of year is more than chocolate Easter bunnies. It's about living a new way of life. Through the Passover, we've been given a reset button to reset, to remind us of the covenant we made with God at our baptism. We're reminded that we are crucified with Christ, that we died, that we were buried with him, and then resurrected into a new life. Each day is a journey. And again, sometimes that old life, that zombie that we buried, comes back and wants to live in us. Sometimes it overpowers us. But we know that God raised Jesus from the grave, and he also raised us up. And he has given us a part of his very nature through his Holy Spirit. We have access to that great power that helps us every day, helps us say no to that zombie, helps us say no to that past, helps us say we can live a better life. And you know, for those of you who aren't baptized, this power is waiting for you. The Holy Spirit is an amazing thing. It helps us. It guides us. It directs us. It's waiting for you to use. During these days of unleavened bread, we eat unleavened bread every day. We think about coming out of Egypt, coming out of the world. We think about burying that zombie, that old man. We focus on a new life, a better life. And it really is better because we have God's Holy Spirit. We think about the new man, the new woman that is learning and growing and becoming more like Jesus Christ. When someone says, "You haven't changed a bit," you say, "Yes, I have. I'm working on it." We should be better, more Christ-like. By the time we celebrate the spring holidays in 2024, we should all be better, walking closer to Christ. By the time we come back here next week, next Wednesday, we have a week, we should be a little bit better. Still learning, still growing. We should be walking closer to Jesus Christ. We should be seeing less of the zombie. Our goal is to be unified with Jesus Christ and God the Father. If you turn to John 17, we read this, and I'm sure it was read in Buford as well. John 17, verse 20. Jesus is talking about praying. He's praying about future believers. He's praying to God the Father about you and I. In verse 20, he says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them and as you have loved me." This is our goal, to be one with Jesus Christ, one with God the Father. Christ in us, God the Father in Christ, to be one with them. God has given us these holy days to remind us of his plan, but also for us to reboot and to recharge. Every year we have a chance. Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, and in the fall, we have the fall holy days. God gives us these days to let us know that he's in charge, he's in control, he's available. We have recommitted to the new covenant at Passover and during these days of unleavened bread to our relationship with Jesus Christ. These days of unleavened bread, as we eat that unleavened bread, let's remember where we came from. We're told to do that, but let's also focus on the future and our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are replacing the sin of the world with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. When we struggle, we can ask for help. Ask God to help us become that new person. That new person that is walking with Jesus Christ.